Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
We have with us today a rising star, a wonderful tenor by the name of Stephen Costello. Welcome to Crossover, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You have just made your Met debut, isn't that right?
I did.
When was that?
It was September, opening of the season with Lucia. Natalie Dessay was Lucia, and Martel Giordani, Edgardo, and James Levine conducting in the pit. And I did the role of Arturo, which is my Met debut. And then later on, I was asked by James Levine on the 25th of October to do Edgardo.
So he was very impressed with your performance.
Yeah, I think he liked me very much. And, you know, it was exciting to work with him. I mean,
he's really quite amazing.
Oh, he's an incredible conductor. Great musician, a great coach, and a great guy. I mean, it was just a lot of fun.
We started at the top. We're going to work our way back. You have a background from where? You're from the Northeast.
From here north, in Philadelphia. Yeah.
And when did you start singing?
Well, I started singing probably, really singing. Or my first show was South Pacific in Philadelphia, in high school, in George Washington High School.
Did you study voice, or were you just
singing? No, I didn't. I was a trumpet player for
really?
Many years before that.
Uh-huh.
And then I was playing trumpet throughout high school. And then, you know, I kind of wanted to do singing. I would join the chorus, and I enjoyed that. And my whole goal was to be louder than the guy next to me. So after I got over that, I decided, well, maybe I'll try out for one of the show. And I auditioned for Emile Debec.
Oh, yes, that's the
I did, but I didn't get it. I got Lieutenant Cable. And I was kind of disappointed at first, but it suited me a lot better,
your
right?
Your voice for what, Valley High or something? No, I'm not sure. No, what was the one?
Younger than Springtime.
Yeah, right.
So I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun on stage, and I had a lot of fun singing, and it was just a whole nother way of expression, a whole other art form that I fell in love with.
But you weren't frightened or anything? I mean, it was just kind
of
a lark
for you? No, I wasn't. You know why? Because all my friends were in it, and it didn't really frighten me. You know, we just kind of did it to do it. We didn't think about it. But, you know, as I did more performances, of course, you get a little more frightened because, you know, the more expectation comes out of you. But after that, I decided I wanted to go to undergrad for singing. So I put trumpet aside for a while, and I went to University of the Arts for 4 years.
As a voice major.
As a voice major, yeah. But I wanted to do more of the musical theater side at first because I haven't been exposed to classical music yet. Well, except through trumpet, but not through voice.
Well, that's very interesting, but your breathing technique for the trumpet is totally different, I mean, isn't it?
Or well, it's kind of the same. It's a little different as, I mean, you also rely on more...
Your embouchure.
Yeah, your embouchure and placement of your lips and the muscles, but which is what you try to get out of in singing, because you don't want to, you know, you want to have pure vowels, and you don't want to, you know, have too much tension in your mouth or your jaw.
But it didn't stop your progression. I mean, I kind of put it aside for a while.
I just kind of, you know, I wanted to focus strictly on singing and not too musical aspects at the same time, because you have to really devote a lot of time in practicing, especially the trumpet. I mean, you can't just.
No, of course.
You have to, you know, pick it up and play, practice for hours. And as you do singing, there's many aspects of singing that you have to just practice for hours.
Now, when you went to University of the Arts, how did you have to audition? I mean,
I auditioned once, and I was really kind of underprepared, and I was kind of embarrassed because I had no training in singing whatsoever, and I didn't have any repertoire. I didn't know what I was doing, actually. I just went in, and I figured, you know, I'm just going to go in, sing some pieces, and hopefully they'll like me. So I went in, I sang a few musical theater pieces, and I got into the school. And it was the only school I auditioned to because I decided so late into the school year that's what I wanted to do. So I got in. I, of course, since it's the only school that I applied to, I took it. And then I was there for 4 years.
But then you went to AVA, didn't you?
I did. I went to AVA. I auditioned for AVA. When did I graduate? I can't remember. I don't want to say it. It makes me feel old.
You're not very old to begin with. But.
So I went to a couple concerts where I met Richard Troxell and Sean Matthey.
Oh, yes.
And they were students of my teacher, Bill Schumann. And, you know, I just, they were great guys, first
of
all.
They are.
And then I just heard them sing, and I loved what they did. They had great voices. They had a great technique. You know, there were a lot of fun to be around. They enjoyed what they were doing. And I said, you know, that's what I want to do. You know, they just make it look so great. And so I asked them, I said, you know, where do you study or who do you study with? And they said, well, we study with a teacher named Bill Schumann in vocal arts. And I said, oh, that's great. Well, how do you get there? He goes, well, you apply. You have to do this, take these steps, and then apply. So I did. And
you got in?
Yeah, I got in. I went to the audition, and the first day I met, I was sitting in front of the whole panel was there. You know, the coaches, Daniel Orlando, Richard Rao, Christopher McIntosh, the musical director.
Yes. So what did you sing for your audition for ABA?
I actually sang one aria, and I sang Cage Lita Manina from La Boheme.
Yes.
And, you know, And they said thank you, and they talked to me for a little bit, and I kind of thought, well, I don't think I got in. They didn't ask me for anything else, and I was just kind of, I don't know what to think. I was a little upset, a little disappointed, and then I'm sitting there at dinner with a friend of mine, and I get a call to come back the next day for the finals, which is great. And that's where I met, you know, Bill for the first time, and I sang for him, and then I found out a couple weeks later that I got into the school.
So you waited to hear, and then you got the news that you got in.
Right.
But your whole attitude was still very, very casual, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I was once I got in, then I was really intimidated because I'm like, oh, God, here it goes, here it starts, you know. I really have to be on my toes every day,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
I have to really get into this, and it was...
How does one start? I mean, do you take courses? Do you take coaching? You have to learn roles?
At ABA?
Because ABA is different from a conservatory.
Well, it is. It's different in the fact that they only have voice. They don't... I mean, a lot of conservatories have other aspects of music, but they only have voice. And they really train you for a career in opera.
But do you start with language? Do you start?
Well, every first year student will take a first year language courses, and they can then, you know, after they finish their first year, they can then go into a second year language course and
and then
you take coachings every day. You take music history course with Wayne Connor, and it's a great, really great place, especially when you're working on roles.
But it's really it would be more like after.
Yeah,
you would go as a kind of a graduate.
There are, level. You know, it is a graduate level. There are exceptions in the case. I mean, there's a student there named Stephen LaBrie right now, and I believe he might be 19 years old, and he's just got a wonderful voice, great, great baritone voice, and you know they're giving him the education that he needs now, and they're just going to nurture his voice and watch him grow. And there are certain cases where they will take people younger. I mean, Ruth Ann Swenson was very young when she got in also.
Right. Yeah, there's some marvelous graduates of ABA, I believe.
There's a lot of great graduates of ABA.
Like?
I mean, you have James Morris, Ruth Ann Swenson, Richard Chuxel, Sean Matthew, people like that. I mean, it's great. Myself, my fiance Eileen Perez, Tanya Moore, Indra Thomas. I mean, you have... Major
voices.
Names out there. Yeah,
yeah, right, right. So there you were. You were at AVA, and you began to prepare.
Yep.
And when did you really realize that you were going to really be out there in the big time, as we say?
You don't. I mean, you really don't. You don't prepare for. You prepare as if you know you're going to have a career. That's just how you look at it. Your whole year at AVA. I mean, that's you're there to train and you're there to study. So that's really what I did while I was there. I didn't think of, I want to have this superstar career, because you don't think that. I mean, if you think that, then you're in the wrong place.
So you're really just developing a career, and you want to sing somewhere.
You want to learn your art to the best of your abilities.
But I mean, it's opera. That's a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not oratorio, is it?
Well, you do. David Lofton, who's a coach there, conducts an oratorio concert every year. He does a jubilate concert, which, you know, it's great. It's a really great concert, especially for us at AVA, because it comes at a time where you might have just done two productions at AVA and have just been working on those two productions and studying them and performing them, and then you kind of take a break. You do this jubilate program, which is all oratorio or sacred music.
Yes.
And it's different than the operas that you're singing.
Yes.
And it gives you, it's kind of a release, you know, it's a lot of fun to work with him on and then perform the concert.
So when you speak about liturgical music, you're really talking about something like, for instance, the Rossini Stabat Mater, right?
Mm-hmm.
which is very demanding. And, of course, you need an operatic voice for that. Isn't that right?
Right, that's true. And, you know, I did it. I think it might have been my second year at ABA where I did the Uolate concert, and David brought that piece to me. And we didn't do the whole Stabat Mater at that point. We just did the, we were just doing different pieces from different oratorio and or different sacred works. So, and I did the Kuyusati Mom, and I loved it. It was a great piece, and it felt good. And it was really, I think, one of the breakthrough pieces for me, because it really started to get my voice in line and focused and, you know, really show off my upper register. So my last year, or the summer before my last year, he said, you know, I'm thinking of doing the whole Stabat Mater. And I said, great. I said, I would love to do it if you want to do it. I mean, it would be a great, great opportunity. And we did it last year. So I got to do, you know, Kuyusani Mom in the whole context of the piece. And it was just, it was a great experience.
Exciting,
it was a really exciting experience.
And of course, it's a whole other presentation for you. I mean, the concept of it is very different.
Yeah, it really is. My only wish is that we had more performances to do it, because I mean, you could only do three concerts. We would love to do more.
Now, what is your connection with AVA now? Are you a graduate?
I am a graduate. I graduated in May, and you know, I still go back. I just went back to see a couple performances, and you know, I still keep a strong relationship with them. You know, I think it's a great school, and they have some of the best coaches in the world there.
Yes,
and, you know,
they
do. You can always call them and go back and coach. And it's,
now, how did the Met thing come about?
How did it come about? I was in Bordeaux doing Lady's Ear, and I was sitting in my apartment, and my manager called and said, the Met wants you to come and do Arturo and cover the performances of Edgardo. And I said,
now this is for Lucia de Lammermoor?
Right. He said, and we'll open their season and we'll be with James Levine conducting. And the first thing I said was, yes, great, let's do it. And he goes, now, why don't you think about it? And I said, no, okay, let's think about it. So I call him back in an hour and I say, yes, let's do it. And he said, oh, okay, well, you don't have to do the covers. And I said, well, I'd like to do the covers. It'd be a great chance to...
That would be an understudy.
Right. Mm-hmm. I said, it'd be a great chance just to learn. You know, I'm going to do the Edgardo and then Edgardo later. Just great to learn it, you know, and then work with it. Maybe get a chance to work with James Levine on it. It'd be great. And so I did. I studied it, and I worked with some coaches at ABA. And then I went to the Met my first day, and I was nervous.
I would imagine. What kind of
terribly
experience
nervous. I was terribly nervous, but I'm friendly with Marcello Giordani. He's a student of my teacher. And it was great to see him there on the first day, have a friendly face. You know, he's, you know, the big tenor now. And it was great to have him on my side. So I'm sitting in rehearsal, nervous, just, you know, kind of keeping to myself. And they're going through the entire presentation of the opera and the set presentation.
And you have to block, don't you have to go through all that?
Well, we didn't do that yet. We're just looking at the whole presentation of the production now. And we get to my scene as Arturo. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Marcello just jumps on me and starts shaking me and says, there's your scene. This is your big scene. This is your big aria. I'm like, come on, you're going to get me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble. I was so paranoid that I was going to get in trouble my first day. But But it was great. We started staging, and it was a lot of fun, you know, just watching everybody interact and watching people work. It was a great place to be.
Well, I mean, did you want to pinch yourself? And then, of course, when the performance, how did you feel when you walked out on that stage? You said you can't see beyond three
rows. I was nervous. It's opening night of the season with James Levine, with Marcello Giordani, with Natalie Dessay. I mean,
My goodness.
You don't think you should be there.
Well, do you realize where you are? I realized
afterwards.
Yes,
you know.
I think so. Because for a performer, you perform.
Right.
The thing is to perform at the top of your game, no matter what you do, whether it's an amateur thing or whether it's a very highly professional thing, so that when you finally are in a position, you know that this is the way you perform. And I would imagine that you didn't. You really don't think about it, really, pretty much. I mean, you just go out there and you do it, and then you say, my goodness.
Right, and you know, it finally kicked in afterwards. I mean, there's afterwards, because I was kind of in my dressing room most of the time before I went on for my part, and afterwards, you know, I'm relaxed. You know, I've just sang my part, and I'm done. I can relax now. And then I come back, and the trip goes in the dressing room taking an interview, and like all these, you know, all these famous people are here, and it's like, wow, it's for real, yeah.
It must be very thrilling. So how did you leave that whole experience in terms of you made your debut? What does one do? One makes their debut, and then one continues on. You have, of course, a manager, and you are performing throughout. Is it throughout the world now, or is it the country?
Yeah.
You were in Bordeaux, France.
I was in Bordeaux. Yeah. Well, I made my European debut. Actually, before that, I did a recital in London, which I just went back and did with the same recital series with my fiancée Eileen.
Yes, and what did you, what, where was that?
It was at a renovated church and renovated into a theater. It's called St. John's Smith Square.
Oh, yes.
And it's a very famous lawyer in London, Ian Rosenblatt, puts on a recital series every year, and Juan Diego Flores goes and does it. Marcello Giordani does it. He gets a lot of big names. And I was asked to do it not this past summer, but the summer before that.
That's an incredible to be in that company.
I had a successful first recital, and then they invited me back. And, you know, we went back, they invited me and my fiancé to come and do a joint recital, which is great because we often try to find
joint
opportunities to perform together and work together.
Yes, I heard you sing together at the AVA Gala when I first met you. And did you meet at AVA?
We did. We did. Actually, we met the year before I went to AVA. I went to an AVA concert, and she was singing. And I went with a friend of mine who supposedly was being fixed up with her.
Just a date, right?
Right. And so I met her there, and I was a little jealous at first. I'll admit that. I was a little jealous of my friend. But then I went to AVA, and I did my first Ladies' Year with Eileen. And then we did Bohème together. And I think right around Bohème is the time we probably started dating, and that's...
Well, if you're going to fall in love, I can't think of a better opera to fall in love to.
That's right, that's right.
It's a gorgeous thing. Now, being a tenor, this is really a huge responsibility. It's like being a coloratura soprano. I mean, and especially these days, I mean, you know, this terrible loss with Pavarotti, of course,
terrible.
That was really left a hole in the operatic world, I think. And his early work was just devastatingly beautiful. And how does one, well, it's not that you measure up, but those are huge shoes to fill, I think. And some you will be compared constantly as a tenor.
Well, you're
always
compared to somebody. I mean, everyone is not just tenors, but sopranos and mezzos.
But tenors, it's a very, very romantic. I mean, you are like the coloratura soprano in a sense.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody will ever fill Pavarotti's shoes. I don't think, you know. I mean, he was a great singer. It's hard to emulate someone with that much greatness about them. And he, you know, I think everyone just wants to come into their own as a singer and kind of find their own
place.
Their own place, right? But it's hard. I mean, it's hard to be a tenor sometimes because you can't do as much as some people. When you're doing it, I mean, I keep thinking people ask, well, when are you going to do Puritania? Well, I don't want to do Puritania right now because it's just so hard.
It's a killer.
And, you know, people that do that type of role, they can't have a life. You just have to, you have to constantly worry about your body and make sure you're healthy and make sure that you're rested. And I mean, even though you do that on a normal basis, but even more so when you have to sing that high consistently.
And the Daughter of the Regiment, isn't that another one?
Oh, yeah.
Those, what E's are they?
Well, that's another one. I mean, you do that, you're always compared to Pavarotti because he was very famous with the art.
Yeah,
right.
How can you? I mean, really, it's not fair, but of course the people expect it, and that's the, it's the bullfighter thing, you know.
I know, and it's funny because, sometimes you'll get, you'll see a reviewer, you know, people will talk about you on the computer and they'll say, well, you know, Stephen Casselli is great, but he's not Franco Corelli. Well, how could you be Franco Corelli? I mean, I'm trying to be a young tenor, and hopefully one day I could be in that spot.
26 years old is young,
right?
I mean, you're just beginning, and I think you've had tremendous success, considering that you really started kind of not even knowing what you were doing. I mean, if you were playing the trumpet and then you thought you'd like to sing, and I mean, it's so, as I said before, very casual. This was not a dream of yours that you were just, you know, reaching for. This just kind of happened. You have this beautiful voice, and you do have a beautiful voice, and I think you've worked very, very hard as well. Now, tell us a little bit about Cyrano. This is the work that you are now performing for, what is it, 2 weeks you're going to be doing this?
Yeah. We opened last night, and we'll continue to run. I think there's maybe four more performances, and the last one will be on the 17th of February.
And the composer of that?
Is David DiChiara, with the librettist is Bernard Uzan. And David DiChiara is the head of Michigan Opera Theater.
I see, And that's being produced by the Opera Company of Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
How would you categorize this? Is it contemporary?
It's very contemporary. I mean, David has a certain contemporary style about his music.
And, but there's romantic.
There's a lot of romantic numbers in there. I mean, Cyrano is a very romantic piece.
Now, what role are you singing?
I'm Christian.
You're the one that's the handsome one.
I'm the handsome one with that everyone presumes to be an idiot, but he's not an idiot. He just is at a loss for words when he's around Roxanne. I mean, he can stand up to anybody, but when he gets around Roxanne, he doesn't know what to do, and he just falls apart. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, for our audience who don't know Stephen and have not seen him, he is handsome. So I think you're going to be put into these roles, I guess.
We'll see.
What a burden. We've just heard Stephen Costello as Christian and Marion Popp as Cyrano in an excerpt from the finale of Act One of the opera Cyrano, music by David De Chiara and libretto by Bernard Uzan, a production of the Opera Company of Philadelphia in its East Coast premiere. The opera, performed in French with English translations, runs through February 17th at the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. So is this something new? I mean, in terms of contemporary, you say, and people will kind of frown when they hear that, but I think there's a lot of romantic.
No, there's a lot of romantic music, and the music is very beautiful. And I think the orchestration is great. It's a great orchestration. It's full, and the music really, you know, is very true to the text. They really did a nice job collaborating together, Bernard and David.
It's a beautiful story.
They worked very, very hard together, and they had a big success with it in Detroit, and I only hope that the success here will be as big.
So this is relatively new, then, the opera?
This will be the East Coast premiere, but the premiere was in Michigan Opera Theater.
How was it received as an opera?
You know, as an opera, the people that I've talked to that have seen the opera liked it very, very much. I mean, I think they had many sold-out shows in Detroit.
And this is the first time you're singing the role.
This is, but I did a workshop maybe a year ago with David and Bernard and Evelyn, actually, at the in Michigan Opera Theater. One summer we got together and we workshopped this opera, where, you know, we would get a cast together and we'd sing through it and we'd do a semi-staged version of it, mm-hmm. and they'd make corrections and this and that, and it was a great experience, because when I came back to it here at OCP, it was kind of like revisiting an old friend, you know,
right.
as an opera that I helped make some of the corrections, and I'm looking at the score, and
that's,
I'm like, oh, you know,
that's very
I think I mentioned that one, and you know, Evelyn mentioned this one. Oh. It's great. It's kind of like you're part of a creation, and you're doing a role that you kind of started to create. So
You think that this will be performed as part of repertoire? You think at some point, is it accessible enough?
You know, you never know. You never know, because there aren't so many operas out there that are by so many famous composers that aren't really part of the repertoire. But, you know, you could only hope. Well, you'll see. Will we be around to see it? I don't know. But it's getting. I know that other houses are going to be doing it in the future. So it's. I mean, it's picked up pretty well.
So now your future with the Met. Do they invite you to do a role? Is that the way it works?
They
are
do.
You on a roster? How does that work?
They do. They like every other house. They'll call your manager and they'll say, we want him to come and do this. Would he be interested in doing it?
But you don't solicit them particularly.
No. The Met isn't a place you want to solicit. The Met is a place that they know what they want and they'll call you.
So it's quite an honor.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. I mean, they have the greatest artists in the world there.
So what is your year look like now in terms of performances?
My year is very busy. I mean, from here, after the Cyrano ends, I'll go back to the Metropolitan Opera and finish three more performances of Lucia. And then from there, I'll go to Baltimore Opera and do Romeo and Juliet, my first Romeo, which will be a lot of fun. Actually with Bernard Uzan directing. So I'll work with him here on the Cyrano, and then I'll have worked with him in Baltimore.
So, how much time do you need to learn a new role?
You know, you should really spend as much time as you can learning a new role. I generally don't like to take roles that I have to learn really, really fast.
You've sung arias, I suppose, from these through the years.
Yeah, I have. But when you put them, you know, it's always when you put them together with the opera, your whole, you know, perspective of the aria changes. And, you know, there was one time I went to Dallas to do Maria Stuarda, which was a great opportunity for me, but I had to learn it in a week and a half. And I normally don't like to do that because it's hard to really grasp the role in a week and a half. Or let alone get it into your voice.
And then the language, I guess.
Right. Well, you know, but that's the other thing about ABA. It was great. I worked on that with David Lofton, and I called him. I said, you know, David, I have this Maria Stuarda, and I said, I don't know if I should take it. I have to learn it in a week and a half. Would you be willing to work on it with me every day? And he said, yeah, sure, why not?
How many performances did you sing?
I did four performances.
I mean, it's really rather incredible to prepare something of that magnitude. I mean, and then the acting and the stage direction, there is so much to do. How many rehearsals do you have on something like that when you have not done that before?
Well, it was nerve-wracking, you know, but after coaching it, you know, for a week and a half, just alone with David, I had it memorized in almost when I showed up upon arrival, and it was a little nerve-wracking because I sat down and then they said, okay, well, we're going to do staging today. We're going to start with staging, and it's like, great. So now I'm going to see how much I really have memorized. He said, well, you know, don't worry about it, but do what you can do. And it was fine. It was a great experience.
See, I think people don't realize when you're first starting out in the business, there's so much to learn. Of course, as you become seasoned, of course, that becomes part of your repertoire. Mm-hmm. But it is an enormous thing to absorb in the early years.
Oh, there's so much to learn. There's so many aspects of it that you really have to get a grasp on. I mean, even like interviews, for instance, my first interviews were terrible. And well, I'm finally getting used to them. It's I mean, it's just, there's, you never know really what to say or how to answer.
Well, no, I think you just talk about what you do. And I think people really want to hear you and who you are and how you feel about your craft. And I'm so delighted, Stephen, that you could find time. I know you're very, very busy now, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh,
we look
thank
forward
you very much.
To...
I have, always have time for anything in Philadelphia, since
yes,
it is my home.
Wonderful.
So.
And again, good luck with the remaining performances of Cyrano.
Thank you very much.
And thanks again, Stephen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.